Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the Mic.
We're back here on Moody on the Mic for another edition. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me as they always do, the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett. See, first off the top, Anthony Mithen and the man himself, Peter Moody. G'day, Moods. How are you going? We'll ask you first, though.
Great to be here, Rog. Great to be back after another interesting and intriguing week of racing, undoubtedly so. And we had our first Group 1 in Melbourne, obviously, and the South Australians dominated. And they still didn't get the headlines.
No, that's right. Jamie Carr, obviously, was supposed to join us last Wednesday night. Things went slightly awry. Mytho, I presume she's joining us this evening?
Look, I haven't sort of followed up on that promise of last week. Probably best just to give her a few weeks off, I reckon. Anyway, the good news is the stewards have sorted it out. They've handed down penalties. See, there's been a little fire in an objection to the severity of the sentence. Look, we've got to take this COVID seriously. The government say it's a $5,000 fine for a COVID breach. Racing authorities say that it's a fine of probably closer to $400,000 if you're looking at missed opportunity in wage earnings. So I can see why you would at least ask the question if you were one of those jockeys that partook in the COVID breach. I doubt they'll get a reduction, and it'll be 3 months before we see any of them back on the track, but they'll come back bigger and better.
Yeah, $5,000 for in terms of the government, like you said, but the government let racing continue on through all this when the rest of society was shut down. So that's, I think, where the penalty does become fair in that respect. Rain Man.
I agree with you, Rog. I think the penalty, there's no doubt it's severe, but I think it's fair in the current climate that we're in. Racing has been given a green light when in a number of other countries around the world, when they've been in racing has not been able to continue. So the fact we've been able to have racing continue has been a godsend for all of us, and on this show at least, but I know hundreds of thousands of people around the country. So the fact that that's been put in, was potentially put into risk, I think is severe. So I think the penalty was fair. But as we've talked about before, racing does breed new stars. The fact that some of the biggest jockeys in the country won't be available during the spring racing carnival opens up opportunities for some new jockeys on the rise, or potentially some veteran jockeys who have bounced back to their best, like we've seen from Brett Preble in the last week, who's had just an enormous week picking up rides left, right and centre and winning Group 1. So I think racing has shown over its entire history, basically, that it bounces back from a scandal just about as well as any sport, probably except for rugby league. And this time next week, we'll be talking about the races, and we look forward to Jamie Carr coming back in November.
Love to ask the man who wasn't invited to the party the question. What do you think, Moots? Weren't invited?
Oh, listen.
A bit stiff?
Listen, I certainly don't condone what went on. It was very disappointing and very silly, and I think they'd all like their time over again. I publicly suggested that I thought the penalties were very harsh in the context of the greater community and what we've seen go on. But those jockeys and myself and all of us here on this show, we've been in a very privileged situation the last 18 months where we've been allowed to go on. So authorities saw fit to bring down those penalties. I thought they were very severe, too severe, but I respect what authorities have done and look forward to them coming back. And, you know, they're all young people. Racing is a very forgiving industry. They haven't damaged... thankfully, the sport hasn't been stopped. It was knocked on the head very quickly. And like Rain Man said, 3 months' time, they'll be back bigger, stronger and better. And Jamie Carr, she's our pin-up girl, and she'll rise to those heights again. Malam Zara, they've always been great jockeys. And the two youngsters, Brown and Gaudry, you know, they've got all their future ahead of them. So it's a fair big splinter in the arse, but they'll be able to pull it out and get on with life.
Rain Man mentioned Brett Preble was the immediate beneficiary of it because he, of course, picked up the ride on Behemoth and won the Memsey Stakes, the first Melbourne or Victorian Group One of the season. Brett Preble's also got the ride on Incentivise, courtesy of Glenn Boss being stuck in a quarantine, or not being able to get into Victoria due to quarantine incentivises. Now, your horse, Moods, you happy enough to have the veteran on board? He's obviously a terrific and informed jockey.
Yeah, well, I've got to be honest, it came down to probably two riders at the end of the day. It came down to Jamie Carr and Brett Preble, and they were the two riders that I put forward to the ownership group for discussion on that very Thursday morning after this show. I was happy to have either of them. Obviously, Jamie was withdrawn from the race and it left the field of one. So Brett's a world-class rider by his own admissions. He came back here half-hearted and struggled along. And, but the last 3 months, you sort of see him, a bit of hunger. He's been doing a lot of work for Lindsay Smith. He comes over and rides a bit of work for us. His son, Thomas Preble, is in the early stages of an apprenticeship in my stable, so I've had a bit of a connection there. And Brett owes me a big one because he slaughtered one in a Victorian Derby back in about 2003 on a horse called Ain't Here that I actually part owned and trained. So he owes me a big race. So happy to have him on board. And subsequently, we've seen him pick up the ride on Probabil and all that as well. And I know Anthony's dying to say something. He probably says, well, why have you boned Luke Nolan again? But he probably forgets from last week that Luke Nolan can't ride the weight on incentivise. So you'll have to come up with another line there, Mytho. So happy days.
No, I just find it interesting that the horse has had one course proper gallop for Peter Moody and it's already had three riders, Glenn Boss, Jamie Carr, we're on to our third, Brett Preble. How you going there, Moots?
No, well, Jamie Carr was never selected.
You would have gone with Brett Preble ahead of Jamie Carr, wouldn't you? Yeah.
No, well, that was a decision for the ownership group, and I know the managing part owner, yes, would have chosen Brett Preble. There you go.
I just
put that in your pipe and smoke it.
And you've had such success keeping one jockey on Brooklyn Hustle throughout her career as well, Mytho. So yeah, speaking.
Oh, it's because they won't. They don't want to bloody ride her.
Yeah. Well, who would want to put up with you?
Nothing to do with me swapping and changing.
I love the fact that you still remember, Moods, that he slaughtered the one in the Derby in 03. Who's got longer memories, Rayman, do you reckon? Trainers, punters, or elephants?
Oh, I think it's a dead heat, a three-way dead heat. But Moods, we know he won't forget a bad ride. And be fair, he does give these jockeys another chance. But when there is the opportunity just to throw that little needle in there, he will not miss out. But it's a motivation tactic. I think Moods had great success with it.
Well, love him or loathe him, Willow. I got Willowed last week. I put Willow on a little mare called Perennial at Flemington about 3 weeks back, and he took every wrong turn. Last Wednesday, I put him back on her at Sandown, and he said, I'm surprised to be riding this again. I said, so am I, but I took the option of thinking that there's no way in the world you could ride it as bad again. Well, I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said it. He did. So Willow's name in the incentivise hat got thrown straight to the shit house, and it was left to J. Carr and B. Preble. So one of the great riders of Australia, C. Williams, he was quickly out of the race after getting beat on a 10-1 shot at Sandown last Wednesday.
He is the most maligned top jockey, I reckon, Garn, like of all in Australia. He is undoubtedly in the top few jockeys, but fuck, he can butcher him.
Absolute superstar.
Knowing Willow, though, after we've put him on the show, he'll come out and ride five at the Valley on Saturday. He does have quite a good book. So, and now that we've put him out of the incentivised race, he'll probably find some import to ride on the Caulfield Cup and win it 20-1.
Oh, skin like a rhinoceros. We will not be able to hurt Willow's feelings. Don't worry about that. Say what you like.
Well, he was another one that boned me on Brooklyn Hustle. Made it to win group two and then wouldn't ride in the group one. I put him on. I'm brave enough to put him on and he won't stick. Anyway.
Not only are we going to miss Malum Carr and Zara for the carnival, obviously the Sydney jockeys won't be in town. So it's going to open up a lot of doors for a lot of riders. We've got our tried and true champions, Willow and Ollie, at the top of the tree. Like, they're 50 going on 25 again. Like, they're going to be the megastars. Brett Preble, who's been off the stage for two decades because he's been at Hong Kong, he's back on the table. And there's going to be another young rider. Like, we saw John McNeil. Like, he's
Will
a young
Price.
Gun just waiting
Will
to
Price
fire.
Is the one, isn't he?
Yeah, possibly. But is he going to come to the fore? Is it a bit early for him this spring? Who's going to get those opportunities on those on the good horses? Like, Ollie, Willow, Preble, they can't ride them all.
I saw Les Beer down here in Geelong running laps of paddocks in his gumboots the other day, so maybe he's back in action moves.
Yeah. Well, we saw Craig Atkinson win his first one for 7 years at Ballarat yesterday, so he could be on the mark as well.
Yeah. Linda Meach obviously made a triumphant return on the weekend.
Yeah, well, Linda's she hasn't had a tumultuous last 12 months, but she's had an exciting one. She's got a given birth and sort of didn't semi-retire, but took a back seat and started a family and got engaged. And she was the beneficiary of also that jockey Airbnb show. And she got a winner and just nosed out by B Preble in the Group One. So it's great to see Linda back on the big stage also. And she's a very competitive rider and can ride lightweight. So I'm sure she'll be well in demand during the spring also.
Did you mention, Moods, that she got engaged too last week? So she's had a big week.
He did. He did mention that.
I did.
I've got a day job as well, unfortunately. Sorry.
He's trying to find another jockey for Brooklyn Hustle.
Now, here's a thought. Let's make racing even more exciting.
With same race multi.
Across all three race codes.
Ladbrokes has Australia's biggest same-race multi offering across thoroughbred, greyhound, harness and international races. Add up to four runners to your same-race multi, lock in your odds and watch your potential payout increase. Bet with Ladbrokes, the home of same-race multi.
T's and C's apply. See ladbrokes.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Rightio, as mentioned, a stack of good races to look forward to this weekend. The first race we're going to just take a brief look at is race five of the program at Randwick, the Concord Stakes. The horse for which this show's catchphrase was born, Nature Strip, will resume it on odds on quote. And surely J-Mac just lets this fast horse run fast.
He's $1.50 here, Nature Strip, in the Concord. But the last 2 years, he's also been an odds-on favourite in this race and on both occasions has been beaten. He was beaten by Redzel in 2019. He was beaten by Guitra last year. And if you look back at their history books, his record when odds-on Nature Strip is absolutely appalling, while you want to be on when he's at any other price. So for me, this is probably the ultimate sit-back and watch race, because we know if Nature Strip brings his best, he is the best sprinter in this race. But we do know that Nature Strip is something of an enigma. And sometimes he does need that first up run before we do see him at his best. So Wild Ruler's in the race. Five Bells, a horse I've always had a big opinion of. And Team Snowden desperate to win a Group 1 with it. Trekking's the benchmark sprinter. He's sort of the gatekeeper to the sprinting division. You know that he's always going to produce a pretty good performance. But we know that Nature Strip is better than these horses on his day. So for me, it's a stay-out race. Looking forward to seeing these good horses back as we build towards the Everest.
I'm not touching it at all, 50 moods, but also can't see any of these beating him. But let's be honest, no. As Roman alluded to, we've said that before.
Well, there's no Guitra or a Redzel in this race, is there? That's probably the key to it. He probably hasn't met a race like first up like this for a while. Probably the only curveball is a horse like Starboy drawn down under him. An 85 rate is probably going to drive him mad up on the speed if he does tend to over race, which he can do when he's a little bit fresh. But sit back and watch, enjoy it. J-Mac, what are we doing fast horses?
If I'm betting in this race, I'm betting on Trekking each way. If I'm tipping in the race, I'm tipping the favourite. How can you go past Nature Strip? You sort of feel that it's Nature Strip's race to lose, but he has lost it before, and Trekking was pretty good at Group 1 level first up last spring, going down in narrow margin in the Moya to Pippi. So can produce the upset, Trekking. If you're looking to play the upset, Trekking's your horse, but you'd be brave to bet against him.
Yeah, hasn't won for 2 years, but he's an upset horse.
Let's move on now to the Furious Stakes, race six on the program at Royal Randwick. And well, this is a really tough race, Rayman. It's wide open and there's probably four or five that are legitimate, got claims on it.
Yeah, it's a great race, this one, Rog, from a betting perspective. We've got equal favourites at the moment. Four Moves Ahead and She's All Class, equal favourites. Naj Marty's right there as well. Swift Witness, who won the Silver Shadow, not far away. Then you've also got Deanne Andretti for Ronnie Quinton, the fresh horse on the scene, who won on debut in impressive fashion, now tackling this field in just her second race start. But I was with Jamia in the Silver Shadow Stakes at a bit of a price, and she actually ran really well. She ran some of the fastest closing sectionals in the race, just ran into a little bit of trouble at the at the wrong time. But her last 100 metres was outstanding. I think she'll take good improvement from that race. So her racing pattern means that she will get back. She does always need luck in running. So that's why you're sort of getting that $11. But I've got these fillies very even. I don't think there's much between any of them. So for Jemaya to be $11 compared to the $4.80 on offer for a horse like She's All Class, I'm happy to be with Jemaya again. But it's the type of race where I wouldn't talk you out of any of them.
I'm going with Four Moves Ahead. Obviously, won the Sweet Embrace in the first prep and came back with that third in the Silver Shadow behind Swift Witness, but meets Swift Witness 2 kilos better off here. So I think that'll make up the less than a length gap. I think it was about 0.6, 0.7 of a length. So in what is a tough race, I thought Jemay was the big danger, but I'm going to go with Four Moves Ahead. Mytho.
Yeah, Najmati for me. Won at stakes level second up last time in and was pretty good behind Gimme Par. And we know that Moods has a very high opinion of Gimme Par first up at Caulfield. The old flip-flop Melbourne to Sydney, I love that move. I don't know why. I don't know what the stats tell us, Rain Man, but I don't mind a horse early in a prep moving from Sydney to Melbourne or Melbourne to Sydney. Hawkses have done it very successfully in the past, and Snowden's tend to be able to pull it off as well. So there's a little stat for you. Am I barking up a wrong tree there, Rain Man?
Yeah, I think it depends on the stable myth, though, but I think you're absolutely right with Team Hawks and Team Snowden have both shown throughout that in their training careers that they can do it. We know that they're just going to pick out the best races for their horses. We know Team Hawks let the horses tell them. I think Team Snowden probably do it a bit more in a bit of a different manner. But I anything Team Snowden do, I've got I'm never going to argue with them because Peter Snowden is right up there with the best in the business.
Listen, I was with She's All Class the other day and she was a scratching. I'm not sure why, whether it's track conditions or some ailment. I'm not 100% sure. But that I'd love to see Najmati get the money. She was very good behind Give Me Par. Some of the punting pundits out there thought she was unluckily beaten and there was a bit of a pot there for Irish Johnny Allen. But I thought she probably had a chance, but she was very strong through the line. So I think she runs well. So I'm 4 from 7 in the Quinella. She's All Class, Najmati.
Race 7 on the program at Randwick, and we get to see one of the stars of racing, a horse that we've got high hopes for heading into the spring, and that is Zaki. Short first up here over a short trip, right, man?
Short, but punters are bullish. Open $2.80, crunch right into $2.35. So to start the race as a dominant favourite. Dreamforce there at $6. Line Roars, $8.50. Rock, $9. Prime Star, $10. But it's all about Zaki here. And I think that's fair. The race is all about Zaki and what sort of Zaki turns up. Because obviously he did get it. When he got out to his preferred trips during that autumn-winter campaign, he was outstanding. He produced a number of high-rating performances. But it did take him a while to get there. He finished, he was a good sixth in the Doncaster. There was no disappointment in that effort. And then was then beaten second up. So it did take him a while to produce his best form. So we know that the Ladbrokes Cox Plate is his major target. I highly doubt that the best trainer in the world, Annabelle Neesham, would have him right at his top here for his return to the races. But against this field, he probably doesn't need to beat his very best either. So I can sort of see it both ways. If we're looking for a horse at a bit of value here, Rock always runs well second up. He's a little bit of a second up specialist. First up, he was a little bit plain, but didn't have a huge amount of luck in running. But he's a horse that is capable of a really high rating effort on his day. Second up in the spring last year, he was enormous in the Newcastle Newmarket handicap. So he's a horse I think can run a bit of a race if we don't see the best of Zaki. But it's sort of a race. I'm sort of happy to see Zaki back, see what he does, but probably not going to get overly invested in from a betting perspective.
Yeah, exactly the same, Roman. We've got no doubt Zaki's the best horse in it, but I'm not touching $2.30, not at 1400. So if I was going to pick something to upset it, maybe Dreamforce, but I think he's about 9 years old. So whether I really want to be there either. So I might just sit back and enjoy. It's going to be a lot of enjoying racing on Saturday and a lot less punting than what I'm used to.
We've got All Saints Eve in this race. She's also entered for the Mona Lisa on Friday. Look, she's good fresh, this mare, and she can run well. And we've tried her a couple of times, got her fit enough to go well first up. she'll be, if she runs there, you can take the lead from John O'Shea that he likes her chances there rather than in the Mona Lisa where she's top weight. So just drawn a little awkwardly. So he'll make the right decision. But Zaki's the one to beat. Whether or not he's fully wound up and ready, his trial was okay. I must say, a little underwhelming. So you'd have to... I'd want to see it before I start backing him in from, what'd you say, 280 to 235 or something. So I don't know that I'd be falling in for that. I'd be wanting to see him perform before you take those sorts of short odds. So probably with you, lads, tipping the best horse in the race is Arky. Our girl will run well all Saints Eve, but probably won't have a bet.
Yeah, me also. It's surprising that he's not in the Chelmsford at a mile. He kicked off in the Doncaster at a mile in the autumn. Is the world's best trainer telling us something that this horse is sharp enough to win at seven? You know, why not be in the Chelmsford? It's one race later. It's also a Group Two, the same as this race. Weight for age. So he's going to basically be carrying the same weight and not having to give weight to the field. Actually, a bit of credit to Sydney Racing. The two Group Twos here on Saturday, they're nearly, I think the lowest rated horses are 96, Arameo, in this race. And this and the next race, they're nearly all 100-plus raters, which is... you know, credence to Sydney Racing in showing that that quality across the board. So I can't find one to beat Zaki, but I couldn't be backing him at 1,400. But I'm going to trust Annabelle Neesham, thinking that he's sharp enough to win at seven, and that's the reason that he's there and not in the Chelmsford.
Race 8 on the program is the Chelmsford, Rayman. And there's a horse here, Nancho. It was a German Group 1 winner last start. Won its last five, been racing for... fuck all money. So 250,000 of this on Saturday would be an absolute fill up. But he's an interesting runner. What is the market telling us?
Yeah, he's an interesting runner, Nancho. If he was coming here, his first preparation in Australia off the back of that German form, you'd have him right in the mix. But for me, it's never a good sign when an import has five barrier trials before they make their racing debut, and their best effort in one of those trials is fourth of eight. And the last two were fairly lackluster. So there's a little bit of Michelangelo vibes about Nancho. So probably happy to let him run around and see what he does here. But his European form is excellent. So we can't completely discount him. But based on just his preparation in Australia, I do have my doubts. Cascadian and Stink It Over basically open as equal favourites. But the early money has come for Cascadian in a fairly big way. 440 into 370. He's now a clear favourite. Think It Over has been just stayed solid at 460. She's Ideal's been the early drifter, $5 out to $7.50. Well, there's been money for Shared Ambition as well, $16 into $8. I think the market's probably got this right early. I do think Cascadian is the horse to beat. Was pretty happy with its first up run, and we saw how in the Wink Stakes behind Malunga. I think it'll take good benefit from that race. Won the Doncaster Mile over this track and distance. And the key is, I think it's going to get just a dream run in transit here. Barrier 3 with Hugh Bowman in the saddle. He'll get every favour in the run. I do get that move for Shared Ambition, who does generally race pretty well fresh and has been set for this first up race over a mile. So I'm with Cascadian, but I think the market's got this one just about right.
I only go with She's Ideal. Obviously third in the Wink Stakes and not beaten too far either. So... out to 1600, a distance for which she's won. Well, she's 2-1, 1-2, placed once from three runs. One of those placings, or the placing, was also at Randwick. So I'm going to go with She's Ideal, which I think is sitting around $8 or $10 right now.
$7.50.
Okay, well, close to $8 and $10. Moods?
Cascadian, yes, he's a deserved favourite. She's Ideal was super the other day, but you quite often find those good stayers really ping fresh, and then they take that run or two to get to their trip. Do they keep producing it like superstars like Very Elegant do? But handicapped stayers quite often dash over 1400 or a mile, and then they take those couple of runs at sort of 16 or 2000 meters until they get to the mile and a half. So probably just off her. Master of Wine's a bit the same. I thought his run was pretty good the other day in the Wing Stakes, and he's probably a bit the same. Is there another one there fresh that could do it? Could a Salino or a Shared Ambition produce that fresh run this time round? Yeah, no help to you here. Splinters in the arse. I'm sitting on the fence, but Cascadian's a deserved favourite.
I was just smirking at the fact that you had no idea and you took 5 minutes to tell us. You got no idea and you haven't given anyone a tip and you haven't given anyone a lead.
Smith, though, he did say off the bat that he had no idea. And then he just reiterated it on a little bit of a
filibuster. Took him 5 minutes to tell us he had no idea.
I was trying to explain to the listeners why there's pluses and minuses for some of these staying horses. People with a level of intelligence might have appreciated it. Airheads like yourself might not.
Just back cucaracha. La cucaracha, la cucaracha. While I'm being an airhead, I may as well sing and dance as well. He's a super horse, this horse. He was terrific in his last trial before his first up run. Interesting he's going to the 1600 again, Rainman. I wonder whether he might go straight out to a trip after running second behind Burdebeck in that listed race on resumption. Was really good in that. James McDonald gets a steer. Tricky sort of a draw, but probably gets back and runs over the top of them late. And I reckon he'll charge to the line and give you great value at better than your each way odds. So, cucaracha for Mytho.
All right, let's head south down in Moonee Valley. A big day in the valley, Rainman, because the golden ticket into the Cox Plate is on offer. It is Cox Plate, Ladbroke's Cox Plate preview day. But we're going to have a look first at race five on the program, and that's the McEwen Stakes, the Group 2.
Yeah, interesting race, this one. Roger, Portland Sky is the favourite at $2.80. September runs $3.60. Good support early for Estella Rock at $6.50. I think Portland Sky is a deserving favourite here. A horse that always promised a fair bit, and he did go to another level during his autumn campaign. He won that Oakley Plate in that dead heat. And then I think his better run then was his second place finish behind Mask Crusader in the William Reid Stakes at the Valley. Over 1,200 metres. That form obviously has been franked in a big way since. So he does run well. He's won first up before. He's won well over 1,000 metres before. So I think he's definitely the horse to beat. I think September run will be better for this run. She's had two starts over 1,000 metres, never won. I think she's probably better suited over 1,200 metres. So I think from barrier seven, she'll probably settle in the second half of the field and be flashing home late like she did when she finished fourth in the William Reid Stakes there. But I think Portland Sky's going to have a bit of a head start on her in the early stages and should be able to hold her out. But I'm pretty keen on Portland Sky there, actually, at the 280. I think he is a deserving favourite.
I'm going to go with September run around Portland Sky. So just that first up run, obviously, in what was it, the Lightning Stakes over 1,000 metres down the Flemington Strait, was as eye-catching as it gets. And then obviously coming off the win at Flemington also in the Coolmore last spring. I know the Valley's a completely different kettle of fish, but I just reckon you always just think Waller's got a plan. And I think that he'll have her ready to go and we'll see the September run that we all thought she was at the start of last preparation.
I'm with Rog. September run, she's exceptional. And I think she'll prove that again on the weekend. Portland Sky, I hear all the points Rainman makes, but I've just got September run a notch above Portland Sky in terms of class and real Group 1 ability. So can't wait to see her resume. She was good resuming, obviously, in the autumn at Flemington in the Lightning Stakes, running second. So I see no reason why she can't really make that next step into her four-year-old season. So I'm going to be sticking with her all spring, I reckon. September run for me.
Well, I'm with Portland Sky. He is a Group 1 winner. Oakley Plate beating the older horses, where September run's won a Group 1, but against the three-year-olds. So I'm in the opposite corner to Mytho. I'm actually surprised one of you or your stud mates haven't snapped up this horse yet, Mytho, a Group 1 fast son of Deep Field. Eight starts, four wins. It's surprising that he doesn't carry the colours of one of Australia's studs. So people obviously stand off him and maybe agree with you and doubt his Group 1 credentials. But he was an Oakley Place, albeit dead heater, but a winner. I think he's too good for these. Portland Sky wins because I'm not doubting September Run's ability, but he's going to be spotting her probably four or five lengths in the run.
All right, let's move on to the Fiend Stakes. And the winner of this race does get into the Ladbrokes Cox Plate for 2021. And this is another wide-open betting race and an intriguing one at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Rog, Superstorm has opened the narrow favourite at $5. Not much between it and Elephant and Sierra. So then there's a bit of a gap to the likes of Shot of Irish and The Chosen One. And You're absolutely right, Rog. It is a really fascinating race. It's one of a few different angles, but I've landed on the chosen one here at a bit of a price, currently $12. There's no doubt he'll be better over further, and he's run really well in the Sydney Cup, and he ran really well in the Melbourne Cup last year where he finished fourth, but he can run well over these shorter distances as well, and his first up record's actually really good. 5 first up starts for 2 wins, a second placing and a third placing. So first up in the spring last year, he won at Flemington in a really impressive fashion. He put away a decent field to win by 2.5 lengths there. First up early this year in the autumn, he finished second at Group 1 level in New Zealand, the Herbie Dyke Stakes, albeit over 1,200 metres. But he ran in this race a couple of years ago and didn't have a huge amount of luck behind Holmesman. But I don't think this race is as strong as it was a couple of years ago. I do think it's a pretty winnable race for the chosen one if he does bring his best form. So I think at the $12, he does represent some value. Of the horses in the market, Superstorm's a hard horse to get a read on because at one point he looked like he was going to be a genuine superstar, but it's been a long time since he has won a race. Elephant's the unbeaten horse on the way through, but this is a massive step up in quality for mine, and I'm not quite sure he's up for it. Sierra Sue was a good winner of the PB Lawrence Stakes, scratched from the Memsey Stakes last week. So I think that was probably a good move because I don't think she was a genuine chance in the Memsey Stakes, but I think she is a much better chance in this race in the Fiend. So the chosen one from Sierra Sue for me, I think the chosen one's a good each way bet.
In a tough betting race, this is more me barracking for the story than anything. But the story of Elephant is a great one. 5 starts, like you said, for 5 wins. One of those has been the Australia Life start at Caulfield. So his trainers, Emma Lee and David Brown, they decided Emma Lee stayed back in New Zealand. David Brown travelled to Australia. He can get into Australia, but getting home, he won't be able to get home until next year, given the state of the quarantine situation, getting back to New Zealand. So they're not going to see each other probably for about 6 months, and they've done it all because this is the best horse they've ever had, and they want to give it every opportunity to win the Australasian Weight for Age Classic. This is a massive step up on Saturday, and they're going to find out plenty more about it. But if you want to barrack for a story, Elephant's the one. Look, it's certainly a winnable race, but it is going to take a bit of a jump in class. So, look, that's more just that I'm barracking for Elephant here, more than a tip. But, yeah, give it strength.
You got to barrack to the story sometimes, Rog, and I'll be watching this race because there's just too many. It's too even, isn't it? It's just the market says it's even. The ratings say it's even. Moods was talking about 100 raters in those two Group Twos up there in Sydney. Well, this race has got 12 out of the 14 100 or higher rated in the race. So work it out and play fair. And if you get the winner, you should get the top odds. So for that reason, one of a tip, I'll go with Superstorm, drawn well, Damon Oliver. Danny O'Brien puts the polish on now for Bob Peters with I'm assuming that's a COVID issue, isn't it, with Alana and Grant Williams having issues getting over. So Danny does a good job and is pretty close to Bob Peters. So I don't think they lose anything there. So Superstorm for me for one of a tip, but go well here, punters.
Yeah, well, Elephant, you're talking about the ratings. Elephant's the lowest rated horse in the race, being at an 82, and he won a benchmark 84. And I believe he's been backed into favouritism in early markets in this race. Probably the greater concern is the weather in Victoria this week. Armageddon's supposed to hit on Friday and Friday evening. And not many of the chances in this race have genuine soft track form. So that's probably a genuine concern. I've got no idea. Not even having a guess. I can't help you here, punters. Box the field up if you're putting a quaddy on.
All right, and with that fatherly advice from old man Moody, we're going to take a break and return with our best bets.
I am here to show you all how to Ladbroke it.
Take a look at where the big bets are landing. Ladbroke's bet ticker gives you a live feed of incoming bets across all your favourite races and sports on your Ladbroke's app. Plus, you can now select and filter by runner. See where the big bets land with bet ticker.
But let's not stop there.
Let's Ladbroke the world!
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
All right, best bets time. Moody on the mic. Rain Man, kick us off.
Yeah, I think we can get the cash nice and early at the Valley on Saturday, Rod. Just going to go race number 3, Sandy Prince, for the new look Lindsay Park team and Craig Williams. two wins on the trot, this horse has improved each time it's been seen at the races. And the best thing about it is it makes its own luck right on the speed. It's a fast horse. They've been letting it run fast. I think it looks really well suited to the Valley as well. As I said earlier in the show, I think it could be a big day for Willow and the Lindsay Park operation, because they've got the favourite in the next race as well, Mr. Brightside, who I think will win as well. So that could be an early running double, Sandy Creek into Mr. Brightside at the Valley.
I'm going to go to race six, the Atlantic Jewel Stakes. Atlantic Jewel was outside of Black Caviar, was my favourite horse, Atlantic Jewel. Now, Zuzarella and Argentia, both for Team Friedman, are running. It's supposedly against each other. Now, there is talk that Zuzarella might not take her place in this field. I reckon you back Argentia now and cop the deductions if Zuzarella does come out, because if you wait, then I'm tipping all that Zuzarella money will be going on Argentia and you'll end up with a price a lot shorter. So I'd back Argentia now in the Atlantic Jewel Stakes and then and just cop deductions if you have to. Mitho.
Yeah, well, Argentia was my best of the day, regardless of whether Zuzarella runs or not. She's the class, really, to watch through all the three-year-old racing in the spring in Melbourne. Frank, daughter of Frankel, classy filly. We saw her up against Moods' daughter, Black Caviar, perform so admirably. I've been waiting to see her again and make her my best bet. So regardless of whether that scratching happens or not, what are you getting there, Rayman? 380 or something?
Yeah, 370, which I'm keen Argentina. I think 370 is a good price.
Top odds. Yeah. Take that now.
Also,
I'm with you, Roger.
Yeah, also my best of the day. Mine was more the advice of when to back her rather than waiting. Get on there.
All right. So. Well, we can all pump each other's tyres up and add an extra layer to Moody on the mic if you like. I can give breeding advice if you like. You put it in here.
No one wants that.
No, well, I'll give punters a bit of extra advice on Argentia. I think she's an absolute superstar, but there is a big pot on her on soft ground. So just be mindful of that, punters. And I would be surprised if the stable even presented her on soft ground, even though it's getting a bit into the carnival where they probably need to get a run into it. So just be guarded off that. My best for the day, the best sprinter going around in the McEwen Stakes, I think, is Portland Sky, race 5, number 3. The world's best sprinter, Nature Strip, is going around in the Concord Stakes in Sydney. He's a prohibitive odds, $1.40. He's been beaten at that price the last two campaigns, I think, Rain Man, first up. But J-Mac's going to let a fast horse run fast.
Ladbrokes.